This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
We have an adventure for you today on Kingdom Pursuits. It starts with a pioneer. I mean, oh my goodness, when you think pioneer, you're just already on adventure. And so how fun is this going to be? We have with us John Whaley. He is not only a pioneer, but a national pioneer with The Rooftop U.S., joining Jesus on his mission. I think you're going to be blessed to hear how God is using this pastor now. How long have you been a pastor, John?
A pastor 21 years, been in ministry over 40 years.
So you're probably wondering, Robbie, what in the world is Rooftop U.S.? So as you might guess, speaking of rooftops, I have to get the music to play before I feel good. Okay, here we go. Speaking of rooftops, John told me he was very inclined to be a rooftop national pioneer, as you might guess. They want to raise shingle-minded volunteers where Jesus is what they're rafter.
Was that three in one?
Yeah. So, yeah, they were shingle-minded volunteers where Jesus is what they're rafter. And literally, they would be upper-class missionaries. The top dogs, very uplifting people, this rooftop organization, as you might wonder. But here's my question, John. All those people up on the roof, you're picturing them, right? Would you call them ceiling fans? Yeah, there you go. So how fun is that? So you knew at the end of all those shenanigans, I actually would have a riddle, which I do. So you can win today by calling in at 866-348-7884. All you have to do is tell us, in what city does the Bible tell us that they raised the roof for a low-down sinner? In what city does the Bible tell us that they raised the roof for a low-down sinner? 866-348-7884. And if they can guess that today, Danny, tell them what they'll win.
Well, they're going to win tickets to the Wake Forest Georgia Tech basketball game, which is this Wednesday, February the 9th.
Yes, and we also have a book, right?
That's right.
By the roof man himself.
That's right. It's called The Rooftop, A Crisis of Opportunity.
Yes. It might change your inclination. We're just saying. It will.
Inclination. Oh, I'm catching all of them.
866-348-7884. You have your choice of the tickets or the book. Or if you happen to get the thing right, immediately, you could just haul in all the goodies. All you have to do is tell us what city in the Bible where the Bible tells us they raised the roof for a low-down sinner. So all you have to do is name the city. And actually, I know this one. And just for extra bonus points, think about this. Why is that city named what it is? Ah, because I happen to know a little insight into that. That there's more to this story than just a low-down sinner. So, John, I am really interested in your story to begin with. Like, one day you're in college, you're in high school, like God shows up and says, John, you said he's been, I got to bring our listeners in where I'm coming in on a landing here. I asked John, I said, well, you're no young whippersnapper. I'm thinking he's kind of in my age bracket. And I said, how long do you want to do this? And he said, well, I want to do it till I go home, however that looks. And I had this lady at a nursing home I used to go to named Miss Beck. She was 104, and she was working for God right up until she was 104, I can assure you. She was still organizing the Bible study. She was making sure everybody was there, all that stuff. And one day I asked her, I said, Miss Beck, at what point do we slow down? And she had read the Bible maybe 80 times in her 90 and 100 years, whatever. She knew the Bible like nobody ever knew. And she quotes some verse out of Ecclesiastes, and she says, you know, as long as we're in the war, we're not, you know, once you're inscripted, you don't get out of the war until it's over.
That's right.
And so, you know, there you go. So, John, you started out with that. I'm wondering, how does God get a hold of somebody's heart like that when you were young? Like, what happened?
Well, let me just give you the background. I came to know Christ when I was 10 years old. 3 years later, at 13, God called me to the ministry.
Really?
And went to my pastor and shared with him this burden God had on my heart. And he said, that is awesome. We're having a youth-led service in 6 weeks. Guess who's preaching? And it was me.
At 13?
At 13. So it was me. But
Okay. Well, this is cool, man. So you go to your pastor and you tell him that you feel led to do this. And then within that short period of time, he says, okay, buddy, let's bring it.
That's it. That's it. I worked hard on that sermon too, man. I worked. I sweated.
Man. Do you remember what it was about?
Yes, it was on, matter of fact, it was on Nicodemus, John chapter 3. And sermon lasted an entire 10 minutes. Gave it everything I had. I was done in 10 minutes. So this call to be on mission with God has been since I was a teenager. And so I've served in a number of different areas of ministry. Started actually serving in churches at 18 in vocational ministry. Pastored for over 21 years before coming to this ministry called The Rooftop. So it's been an amazing journey.
And so when you say he's been preparing you for this for over 40 years, I'm interested in that preparation. What do you think he did uniquely for you that made you feel that way?
Well, basically, because the heart of the Rooftop ministry is prayer and going beyond the walls to reach people that will not come inside the walls of a church building. For most of my life, God has given me an increasing passion for prayer, working closely with pastors, a strong kingdom mindset, and just really a passion to see the church go beyond the walls. It was interesting, the first church I ever pastored in Columbus, Georgia, was Southside Baptist, and our actual slogan, logo, was the church without walls. And I look back on that now and think how almost prophetic that was, as now I'm leading a ministry that helps pastors and churches get beyond the walls of their buildings to reach people that need Jesus desperately.
Okay, well, that kind of hones in something for me that I was wondering about is, can you connect Rooftop to prayer for me?
Okay. The Rooftop comes completely out of Acts chapter 10.
Oh?
Acts chapter 10, the story of Peter on the rooftop. And that whole story is in the context of prayer. You have a lost man named Cornelius who's praying to see God.
I always call that the luring of the shrimp.
Yes.
I thought that all I had to do with eating.
Yes, you know, yes. Everybody thinks that. But it doesn't. It doesn't. But you know, it's all about prayer. I mean, Cornelius is seeking God, and then, you know, God sends an angel to him saying, go get Peter. And Peter's on a rooftop praying when God shows up with that amazing vision and gives Peter a fresh vision of his heart for a lost world that desperately needs Christ.
So let me tell you how exciting this is. We as we're sitting here, John, you may have wondered about Dave Thomas your whole life, the hamburger man. I mean, he Wendy's, you know, it all started out small. You may not know this, but Dave Thomas was a Buick dealer before he, you know, invented Wendy's hamburgers. And my dad knew him, and they used to go over to the hamburger stand, you know, right over there. So, you know, after all these years, his great-great-grandson, Dave Thomas Jr. the Third. I'm sorry,
no,
but we have Dave Thomas with us. He's with Haggai.
Okay.
You know, we got a little stuff on the rooftop with Peter, and we got Haggai coming in. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much for having me here this morning.
Which you guys are going to be so, you're so linked into what you're doing. So we got Dave Thomas, and we got John Whaley, and we got you. We got all these people calling in with the answer to, you know, in what city does the Bible tell us that they raised the roof for the lowdown sinner? We're going to find out all that when you just stay tuned. It's a Kingdom Pursuit. So much more coming up. Stay tuned. Random Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And wow, are we loaded for bear today? Not only do we have John Whaley, national pioneer with Rooftop US, or the U.S. joining Jesus on Mission, but we also have Dave Thomas with Haggai International. They're dealing with the world's, I like this word, gospel poverty. Good word. I don't know if you even thought about the kind of poverty that the world is up against when it comes to the gospel poverty. So we got a lot to talk about today, but one of the things, I know you're with me, you're like, what city did the Bible tell us they raise the roof for a low-down sinner? We got Jeff is in Greensboro. And Jeff, we lost Jeff. Oh, no. Somebody else is going to have to call in and win. And we got tickets to the Wake Forest game. We got the book, you know, up on the roof by the Four Tops. No, I think it's another name of, what's the name of the author?
Dennis Pethers.
Dennis Pethers, right.
The founder of the Rooftop Ministry.
It's all available. All you have to do is tell us which city in the Bible did they raise the roof for the low-down sinner. 866-348-7884. When we left our hero, Peter, he was on the roof. They were fixing to lower down the shrimp. But I love what you were talking about, that that Peter was up there praying.
Yes. Everything happens in the context of prayer. Peter's just having his quiet time. God interrupts it rather dramatically, dropping down that sheet, that net, full of all the unclean animals, telling Peter to eat. And Peter, of course, always like to say, he says two words that should never go together in the same sentence, no Lord. But out of that, it wasn't about the food. It was about the Gentile world who needed Jesus desperately because nobody was reaching them.
It radically changed his worldview.
Radically mm-hmm. changed his worldview. He comes off of that rooftop a totally different person, goes to Cornelius' home, this Gentile centurion, entire household gets radically saved. And that begins the mission movement to the Gentile world from that point on in the early church. But everything in the Rooftop Ministry comes out of that. And our passion is these people have a rooftop encounter with God, just like Peter had, get a fresh vision of the people where they live, work, and play every day that are lost and need Jesus, and begin engaging them with the gospel.
And so, Dave, I'm interested in your rooftop experience, since we're talking rooftops here.
Yes, sir.
With Haggai, you were out there next thing you know, God has you on a mission, right?
To
go off for gospel property. Can you kind of tell us what was going on in your life, and all of a sudden, whoa! what are you up to here, God?
Well, I'm a simple story. Nothing fancy about me. I was in the corporate world and has felt for a long time this calling to serve, and didn't know how to serve because typically I'm in sales for the last 20 years of my life. And so God said, why don't you take the gift that you have, which is the ability to open doors and create relationships and go out there and spread the word of Haggai to people. And so that's kind of my rooftop experience. It's a little different, but I'm able now to be a part of this great ministry that connects world leaders and with the gospel. And we're trying to end the gospel poverty around the world. Mm.
So... yeah, that message of Haggai, can you kind of give our listeners a brief introduction? Because they're expecting the prophet to come.
So Haggai International, spelled just like the Old Testament prophet, was founded by a pastor named John Edmund Haggai. He was a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky in the 40s and 50s, and then he was also an evangelist. And so we're a 50-year-old ministry, and what we have seen and what he has, the vision that he felt God gave him was, why aren't you raising up fishers of men in indigenous countries, essentially, right? And instead of always sending missionaries over, which is a great need, and we need missionaries, we need more than ever, but he saw that there was going to be this lack of missionaries going into the field from resources, from doors being shut to the Western world. And so he said, why don't I raise up Christian business leaders and teach them and train them how to become fishers of men? and
indigenous Christian.
Yes.
In
yes.
other words, this is a guy that's already in India selling cars.
Or that's
a guy
right.
Already in Pakistan, you know, in the textile industry.
That's right. That's right. And so one of the crazy things is, and a lot of leaders don't think about this, having a college degree in America is very common in today's world. But if we go back to the late 60s, the 70s, and 80s, and you're from China, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, India, and you have a college degree, you're a somebody already, right? Because very, very few people were college educated. And that's part of our mission, is we wanted to go after the movers and shakers of the Christian world and teach them how to truly understand that they are a fisher of men right where they are, and then let them explode. You know, let them plant their roots deep and go.
So you're just, if you're with me, you're sitting there going, wow, we got rooftop people praying over here that God's going to, we got these people over here with Haggai. And then you may be wondering who got lowered through the roof. So we, or what city that all happened in. We have Caroline is in Butner, North Carolina. Caroline, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie. Nice to hear your voice.
It's great to hear yours.
I hope you can hear me. The guy said he could not hear.
Oh, I hear you great. I hear you great. Do you know what city they raised the roof for the Lowdown Center?
I think it's Capernaum.
Oh, you're exactly that. Yeah, Capernaum. And did you know, I wrote a episode of Christian Car Guy Theater called Nahum's Mat.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have heard that. It's not all that famous. But if you go back and look at all the podcasts at Christian Car Guy Theater, you're going to find there's an episode. It was actually three episodes that were Nahum's Mat, and it was based on this idea. And so I really studied the city of Capernaum. The reason I know that just off the top of my head is that I found this a fascinating thought process, that if you ever thought that the guys that lowered him down might have been who Jesus was talking about when he says, your sins have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, Jesus doesn't say, I forgave your sins. He says, your sins have been forgiven. And so for all we know, and I just threw this little storyline in to just challenge everybody to say, what if this guy sunk their fishing boat and in the process got hurt and ended up like needing to be healed? What if it was some guy like that had really betrayed his buddies, and those guys forgave him to the point that they wanted him to be set free, that they're the ones that lowered him down on the mat? And when Jesus said, you're blessed because your sins are forgiven, he was pointing out to the guy that his buddies were the ones who are bringing him to Jesus. You didn't know I was going to go into all that, did you, Caroline?
No, I didn't. Oh, I learn something every day. Thank you.
That's all my imagination. Mm-hmm. It's just really crazy. But thank mm-hmm. you for calling in and for winning today. That was awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. And like I say, it's good to hear your voice again, Robbie. God bless you.
God bless you.
And what you do.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have Noah is in Durham. I hope it's still with me. Noah, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hey, Robbie. I think your first caller got it right there. I was going to say it was in Mark 2. I was looking up in Luke, but I was trying to, I found the actual city name, and like I said, Mark 2 there. I couldn't get dialed in quick enough.
You're still a winner, Noah. I'm just telling you that, I mean, somebody with a name of Noah calling in about Nahum's Mat, you know, and Capernaum and all this stuff, you know, it's just cool. It's just cool.
Yes, sir.
So what about that story? Has that story ever intrigued your mind to just wonder about these guys?
Yes, yeah, I always thought they had, they talk about how they had a lot of faith, you know, to be able to get him up there, and a lot of, you know, they wanted to get to the Lord. I always wondered about the person's house, though. I was wondering how he felt about that, digging up his stuff. That was always my thing. I think I've heard that. I was like, hey, because you never hear that part of the story, but it was, as far as them getting to it, you know, they want to take care of their friend. They want to get to the Lord. They took a lot of initiative. Jesus recognizes that, but it never says nothing about how they ripped that roof open. I don't know what would have cost, what they had to fix that back in the day, but it was, like you said, a lot of faith they took into getting him where he needed to be. I always thought that was the neatest thing. But
you know, I think I'm going to pray right now that one of the first people after Jesus and your loved ones that you meet in heaven is going to be the guy whose roof got cut open. Let me tell you how mad it was. Wouldn't it be cool to see the instant replay like this guy, and you know, while you're watching the instant replay, you know, the camera fades in on this guy's face who you know is the homeowner, like, what?
Oh,
that's so cool. Thank you, Noah. God bless. I appreciate you calling in today for listening.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
So, Danny, if he wants another book or something, I just put him on hold so you can get his information, and we'll get Noah taken care of, because I like winners. You know, that's really, really cool. So back on the roof, you know, of Rooftop USA, you're training people in prayer, essentially. Am I getting this right?
Well, actually, the heart of the ministry is training people in disciple making. How do I engage people that are around me every day? The Rooftop began out of a passion and a burden to see the church leave the walls of the building. 95% of the people who come to church on Sunday never talk about Jesus Monday through Saturday. And that was the burden that spurred
our
founder.
Is that a real number?
That's a real number. Statistically,
95% of the people that go to church
on Sunday and sing about Jesus and hear about Jesus never have conversations with others about Jesus. So our goal is to help them begin engaging, but it starts with prayer, getting a fresh vision of God's heart for those people so they'll see people the way God sees them.
How fun is this? You get to hear the rest of this show if you'll stay tuned. And if you got another comment or question, maybe you've been thinking about this Lowdown Center, you're welcome to call us, 866-348-7884. More with Dave Thomas. He's going to tell you the secret to the Wendy's hamburger. It's all coming up. Stay tuned. Robbie Dillmore here, and the Truth Network podcasts have helped make MyPillow the company it is today. And now Mike Lindell, who, by the way, I've met and is a great guy, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. For the first time, you can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Who never thought that my dream job would be selling MyPillows? Maybe you're getting tired of these sleeping jokes, but you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, the body pillow is regularly $89.99, but with a promo code GETTRUTH, it's only $29.99. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the body pillow, for only $29.99. Enter promo code GETTRUTH or call 800-942-9613 for these great radio specials. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're blessed, really, really, to have with us Dave Thomas with Haggai International, dealing with the world's gospel poverty in a very unique indigenous way through business people. And we have John Whaley, who is a national pioneer of Rooftop U.S., which they're joining Jesus on mission. And we heard a minute ago Dave describe Mr. Haggai, who was not the prophet, but he ends up being a prophet, how he, you know, was raised up, you know, and felt this burden for spiritual poverty across the world. Interestingly, the founder for Rooftop was an atheist, right, John?
Yeah, Dennis Pethers, our founder, grew up as an atheist, and it wasn't until he was in his 20s that he heard the gospel. His boss gave him a copy of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And as he was reading that on the train to and from work each day, is how he came to know Christ as his Savior. And so he was just radically saved. But his burden became for those people beyond the walls of church buildings that nobody was reaching. England, which is a very spiritually impoverished nation, where only, you know, now 2 to 3% of the entire nation knows Christ and attends church. And that was Dennis's passion. You know, we got to get beyond the walls. But the reason people don't go beyond the walls is because we don't see people the way God sees people. So that first getting that fresh vision of God's heart and then beginning to go beyond the walls and reach them where they are.
And so as a U.S. pioneer,
mm-hmm.
right, and like you said, it comes from a foundation of prayer. But then How are you actually engaging these people in discipleship?
Well, we do a lot of work with pastors and churches, helping them first begin to get God, receive God's heart for their community and their neighborhoods, but then teaching them how to share the gospel conversationally, how to build relationships at work, where they are, where they live, and begin to share their story and God's story and begin to make disciples, understanding that disciple-making begins with the faith conversation. We disciple people to Jesus, and then we disciple them in Jesus once they come to Christ. So teaching people how's that a lifestyle of just engaging conversationally and pointing people to the cross and leading them into that relationship with Christ, and then helping them lead their friends and family and neighbors to Christ. So it becomes a constant process.
Which is just fascinating to me that this is, as I listen to it, it's indigenous. Mm-hmm. Like you're taking the people that are already in the circle of friends that they have, the
yes.
community that they already are invested in, where people will give them some credibility and all that, and now give them, you know, fresh messaging, which is exactly what you guys do, but you're doing it through the business world. And essentially, you guys specialize in developing in third world countries, right?
Yes, that's correct. So so our training is done in four nations. If you're Spanish speaking, it's in Guatemala City. If you're Arabic speaking, it's in Cyprus. If you are Mandarin speaking, it's in Singapore. And if English speaking, is in Maui. Those four places are where we train, because those are the four most common languages in the world, right? And so 90% of all people can speak one of those languages. You know,
really?
They might know two or three different languages.
I learned, you know, I had no idea.
So
I would have thought that Hindu or something was in the list.
So most Indians will speak English now. It's their common second language.
Really?
And so for India and for Pakistan and for those countries and a lot of countries in Africa, they are taught English from a very early age, so they're more fluent in it than some of us,
yes.
right, that grew up in America.
They are.
And so that's why we have chosen those four major languages. So we have four international training centers, and then we have 505 alumni associations throughout 189 countries that do training constantly on a monthly basis. So in those countries, it will be in their native language and native tongue. So we know, just like my dear brother here knows, that there is over 6,000 different languages around the world.
Okay, I'm starting to track with you. So this guy who speaks, you know, he lives in Indonesia, and he speaks the dialect of the tribe of the Peace Child or whatever.
Right.
And so, you know, like, oh my goodness, he goes to your school where they, you know, speak one of those languages that he gets, and then he comes back. And he's loaded for bear, but he can do it both culturally with people because he's from that culture, and also speak their language, so to speak.
Correct. So, yeah. So our ministry is designed to, we teach them 14 core subjects in evangelism, discipleship. How do you reach a Muslim if you're from a Muslim country, or how do you reach a Buddhist or a Hindu, right? And so they wanted to make sure that they understand how to reach them culturally. Very sensitive about that. You know, you just can't.
So I see a common
theme.
Mm-hmm.
Theme of discipleship.
Yeah.
Right? And so I that's one of the words that just, like, fries my bacon. I knew you'd like that, being with the Wendy's background.
That's right.
But anyway, you know, for years and years and years, I thought about the word from, you know, being translated from the Greek, which has to do with an enthusiastic learner, somebody that's so enthusiastic that they just love to learn. And once mm-hmm. that you take that enthusiastic person like yourselves, like you two, that enthusiasm just automatically explodes wherever it is that it goes. So if you guys got these business people in your idea, or you've got pastors now who become enthusiastic to be able to intentionally get their people in their church to engage in conversations, spiritual conversations with their workers, which, by the way, you know how it happened for me?
Because
I was just a car salesman. Or I shouldn't say just a car salesman. I was a great car salesman. But I just would read the Bible every morning. I'd get so excited about what I read that I'd come into work and say, hey, man, you know what I read today? And if I had a customer, you know what I read today? You know, it's just, I was so excited about what I was learning that I just shared it, like, you know, open, and God had given me whatever salesmanship ability. And so it was just like, this is discipleship. Because if you get so excited, it's going to do that. Mm-hmm. But lately, I started to think about, well, you know, the Hebrews were the ones that they were originally the disciples, right? I mean, they were Jews.
Yeah.
And so what does that word look like in Hebrew? And what does that exactly mean? Because when Jesus said, go make disciples, he was telling Jewish people to be something that they would have known what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing that that word in Hebrew, have you ever studied it, John?
Not the Hebrew, not as much.
Yeah. That actually the word Talmud, mm-hmm. which means the story, mm-hmm. has to do with scholarship. And that the idea it was that these scholars were scholars of story. And think of the power of that. That, you know, that when somebody is a good storyteller, which both of you guys are, by the way, I've listened to both of you, that the power of knowing scholastically what the story is that's in the Bible and being able to do that well has got the same effect, mm-hmm. but it gives me more stuff about that word that I think, wow, if we can go make disciples, right? It's a great commission, which if you're a car salesman, it's all about great commissions.
Yeah.
You can see why I was just originally just dialed into this. Which, when you really picture it, it is, you couldn't get a better commission, right, than being in heaven and someday some guy walking up to you and going, hey, you remember that time?
Yes.
You know, you were selling me the car, or you were, you know, selling me rice or whatever it is, you know, that these guys, right? I mean, how fun. How fun. So, John, I'm curious, like when you took me up on coming on my show, what mm-hmm. were you hoping our listeners would, what would the takeaway be for them on Rooftop? Oh, before you answer that question, I know you're listening and you're thinking, I would like to know the answer to that question. Well, good, you're going to have to stay tuned because we've got a break coming up. And when we come back, John's going to answer that question, but also Dave Thomas. And he told me that he's got more baconating that he wants. Oh my, this is going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Again today, we are blessed to have with us John Whaley, the national pioneer with Rooftop US, joining Jesus on his mission, which is now that I know a little bit more about that, what they're doing is they're discipling folks on how to really be able to share the best news of their lives, you know, what Jesus has done for them, as well as Dave Thomas with Haggai International, and they're dealing with the world's gospel poverty by doing the same thing, making disciples out of the business people of the world in different countries. And so, you know, how cool is this? We get to hear about what God does by listening to the Truth Network, you know, and I get the chance to be with these amazing people. So, John, as I ask it going into the break, what were you hoping that you would be able to get across, or what would be the call to action maybe of the people listening? That you would go, well, and by the way, I've posted both ministries are at kingdompursuits.com. So if you're wanting to see their videos or find out more about how to pray for, donate to, and all that stuff, it's all there at kingdompursuits.com. But go ahead, Dave. John?
Well, one of the things I was hoping that people would get out of the conversations today is they would really begin pressing into God's heart and saying, God, help me begin to see the people where I'm at every day, my neighborhood, my workplace, wherever I'm at, through your eyes, to see these are people that are made in your image that need to hear the gospel, and begin saying, God, give me that passion to begin to engage them and love them and build conversations with them and begin to point them to Christ.
That is so powerful. And right, if people could have heard during the break what we were talking about, what is how important it is for somebody to share their story, to be known, to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. So part of the way that we can do this, be good disciples, really is to be students of somebody's story, of exactly. their own story. Absolutely. But in order to be a student of that, we got to ask questions like, man, you know, tell me about your life, for, you know, kid, you know, or whatever it is, to begin to engage our neighbor to love them well.
Yes. I think for too long, we taught the gospel as a presentation. We taught people God's story and their story, how to share their story. But we left out that third component, and that's the story of the person you're talking with, and taking time to hear their story so you know how to interject the gospel, how to interject even your story into their story, because once people know that you care about them, they're much more open to hearing what Jesus has to say.
Right, and they begin to relate. Like
exactly.
So, fascinatingly, moving over to Haggai.
Yeah.
What were you hoping, Dave, as you got on the show today, that to be able to make sure that our listeners would know and how to engage with you guys?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is we grew up in the Southern Bible Belt, and just like what was said just earlier, is Christians here need to understand that they have a call in this. Like, we read in the Bible, it says we are the hands and feet of Christ. And I hope and pray, even though I would love for our ministry to thrive, that the listeners here today would actually get that they can disciple right where they are, whether they're a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, a school teacher. Amen. You know, I one of the stats that we see is that a school teacher, one school teacher will affect 1,000 kids in their lifetime just by coming through their classes, 20 and 30 at a time. What greater ministry is to show the love of Jesus to all these kids that will then hopefully be radically transformed. But for our ministry, it's prayer. We need prayer. Our leaders are in some of the most dangerous countries in the world. We are in 189 countries, and so we desperately need people to cover our leaders in prayer, right? Yeah, financial support is always great, but I think prayer is the number one thing. If we get on our knees and we come before our Lord and Savior and start really understanding that the church is more than just where I go to, just, you know, or it's more than the building that we see driving down our street, that the church is so alive and thriving in other cultures and other languages. I'm hoping that people in America will cast that yes. vision of the global body of Christ, right? And so start really pouring into their prayer life for all these worldwide ministries, because the gospel is growing and thriving where persecution is at its greatest.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, John? Amen. I imagine you've seen it for over 40 years in ministry. Can you share a little bit about what excites you now?
I think what excites me now is to see what's happening in the body of Christ, and to understand, I think people are beginning to wake up to the fact of, I live in a mission field, that my school is a mission field where I go or teach, that where I sell cars is a mission field. You know, wherever I'm at is a mission field. And I think for so many years, Christians didn't think that way. But I think in America, because we do live in a global culture, the world has come to us, you know, and understanding, first of all, that evangelism and disciple-making is not complicated. And people are beginning to see that now. It's telling story. Just telling story.
And listening, which, by the way, having taught sales all my life, listening is huge. The gift.
The key.
It is the gift. It is. You'll never find a salesman who can't listen. Other than that, he'll be out of business pretty quick. So, meanwhile, I want you to hear again that all this stuff's at kingdompursuits.com, Haggai International, Rooftop U.S., find out more about that, link about it, and again, listen to their story so that you can, you know how to pray. And we're so grateful for you listening today. How fun was this, huh? Well, you get more, because Encouraging Prayer is coming up with James Banks, followed by The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. Thanks for listening.